evening. Welcome to tonight's meeting of Bethlehem City Council for Tuesday, September 17th, 2019, here in Town Hall. Please all rise for the invocation by Reverend Elizabeth Goody of Metropolitan Community Church of the Lehigh Valley, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
That's Gowdy, rhymes with howdy.
Howdy, thank you for joining us again.
It's an honor to be here. Let us pray. Wonderful God, we humbly call upon you to provide your energy and focus tonight for these city officials and committed citizens. We are all in this life together, and while we may agree and disagree on any number of issues, Lord God, help us all to build a consensus and move forward in providing a continued high quality of life for the people of Bethlehem. Bless the service of those gathered here tonight. Help all to listen to one another well. We are all very aware that in our country, power belongs to the people. Power is not for those with the most money or those who are the smartest or those who are the quickest. We give thanks that all people are created equal and that we have been endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights like life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Since we are all equally empowered, we are all equally responsible for our civic life. May this meeting be full of good purpose, good humor, and good governance, we pray. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Reverend Gowdy. The clerk would please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Present.
Mr. Cologne?
Present.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Present.
Ms. Negron?
Present.
Mr. Reynolds?
Present.
Dr. Van Wert?
Present.
Mr. Wilder?
Present. Prior to the consideration of our regular agenda items, City Council will conduct a public hearing to accept the public comment considering a privately proposed rezoning request for 11 and 15 West Garrison Streets to be rezoned from RT High Density Residential to CB Central Business District. In connection with this public hearing are the following communications. Communication 6A, City Planning Commission Zoning Map Amendment Petition of Dennis Connell. Communication 6B, Lehigh Valley Planning Commission Zoning Map Amendment High Density Residential to Central Business. Public hearings are conducted as follows. I will recognize a representative of the petitioner to make a presentation on the rezoning request, and then we'll recognize a representative from the administration to make a presentation on the City Planning Commission's recommendations. Members of council will have the opportunity to make comments and ask questions, and finally, public will be recognized for comments. The public hearing is called to order. The clerk would please read communications 6A and 6B.
A memorandum from Darlene Heller, Director of Planning and Zoning, related to a private request for a zoning map amendment to rezone two parcels, 11 and 15 West Garrison Street, in the city of Bethlehem from RT, High Density Residential, to CB, Central Business District. At their August 26, 2019 meeting, the City Planning Commission voted 4-0 to recommend approval of this proposed rezoning. Attached is a separate memorandum from Ms. Heller addressed to the City Planning Commission containing background information on the rezoning request and a statement of support for the rezoning request. 6B, a letter from the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission in connection with a private request for a zoning map amendment to rezone two parcels, 11 and 15 West Garrison Street from RT, High Density Residential, to CB, Central Business District. Pursuant to Pennsylvania Municipalities Planning Code, the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission Comprehensive Planning Committee reviewed the proposed zoning ordinance amendment at their August 27, 2019 meeting and found that the proposed rezoning would be consistent with the county comprehensive plan.
Thank you. I'll now recognize Dennis Connell, representing the petitioner, to discuss the rezoning request.
Good evening, Council. My name is Attorney Jason Ulrich. I'm here on behalf of Mr. Connell and his rezoning request with respect to 11 and 15 Garrison Street. We are essentially asking for a map amendment with respect to two parcels, both of which had previously under the prior zoning map been considered CB. However, in the most recent amendment of the zoning map, they were rezoned to the high density residential. Mr. Connell is a licensed architect. He's going to take over and provide a little more background. I will also be available for questions then afterwards.
Thank you.
Mayor Donches. President Waldron, members of council, I own 9 properties in the 700 block of North New Street. One fronts on West North, 6 face New Street, and the 2 that we're here to discuss tonight, 11 and 15, front on West Garrison Street. For decades, 7 of the properties, the New Street properties and the North Street property, were zoned Central Business District, and they are still CB today. The same goes for the Garrison Street properties, except in 2005, the city rezoned those properties from CB to RT, the High Density Residential District. The reasoning behind that change was that there's a 2-block area of West Garrison Street that contains residential uses that are not permitted in the Central Business District, which on the surface is acceptable, fine to make that change. However, there are other implications to it. For example, I did an analysis of my 2 properties in regard to how they stand zoned RT, high density residential. Neither of the parcels meet the required parking requirement. They do not meet the minimum lot size requirement. They don't meet the minimum tract dimensions in regard to lot width. They don't meet the lot area per dwelling unit. They don't meet setback requirements, and they exceed the maximum allowable building coverage in the RT zoning district. Now, if nothing changes, the properties will remain as legal non-conforming uses. However, to develop the properties or at some point in time in the future, these issues are going to raise their head, and anything that takes place in the properties is going to either require variances or a rezoning of the properties at that point in time, or abandonment of any desire to make changes. With that in mind, I would hope that the council would see that the request is reasonable and would vote favorably in regard to my petition. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Connell. I would recognize Darlene Heller, Director of Planning and Zoning of the city.
Good evening. You have the memo from the Planning Commission. We did review the proposal at our most recent meeting, and the Planning Commission did vote unanimously to support the rezoning request. That was also supported by the Planning and Zoning Bureau. And we looked at a few different considerations as we reviewed the plan. The properties are actually non-conforming whether they're zoned RT or whether they're zoned CB. Mr. Connell is proposing to consolidate the lots, and he shared with us a project that he would like to move forward if this rezoning takes place, and at that time those non-conformities would be removed. The parcels are not within a historic district. None of the parcels that Mr. Connell owns are within a historic district. There are setback requirements between CB and RT, and those protections would apply whether the lot line is where it is right now or whether it's moved back a couple of properties on Garrison Street. It's true that the properties were previously zoned CB. We went through a rezoning several years ago now prior to the new zoning ordinance of 2012, and we really reduced the amount of commercially zoned areas in the city. So those properties that were not fronting on New Street were rezoned to residential so that they would be more compatible with the surrounding neighborhood behind it. Along New Street in this block, there already are some is what we call missing teeth. There's a few vacant parcels where a sinkhole occurred, and There's also an area that fronts onto New Street that's just has surface parking at this point in time. So not each of those properties are developed at this point. So we did sit down with Mr. Connell at one point and also review the proposed project that he asked for this site. It does appear to comply with the zoning provisions for CB. It doesn't look like at this point with a sketch plan review that it would require any zoning relief or zoning waivers. So we did support the request that's before you tonight. If you have any questions, we can certainly answer those.
Thank you, Ms. Heller. Are there any questions or comments from Ms. Heller, from members of council? Dr. Van Horn?
Could you just explain again to me why these two buildings, if they housed families in them, would be non-conforming? Is it just a matter of lot coverage and setback issues? Because the use themselves is residential. So if they had families in them, it would be a residential use in a residential zone.
Correct. But sometimes a non-conformity typically occurs also for dimensional requirements. The lot size, the building coverage, I think Mr. Connell reviewed some of those, but there are non-conforming components to those parcels, but they're not use. The use is conforming, but the dimensional requirements of the lots are non-conforming.
So when we consider use in the zoning language, is the actual use of the property seen as a greater consideration rather than a setback or a lot coverage issue? I mean, it would seem like the least relief would be to fix the lot coverage and the setback issues rather than change the actual use.
I don't know if there's a way to do that, really, since everything around there is developed. At this point in time, we have a lot of non-conforming parcels in the city, and that's really just the way they are. Unless they're consolidated with other lots, there's really no way to relieve those.
But these are two single-family homes, so they've been used as residents, and people have been living in them just fine with whatever
right.
type of variances or
right.
use requirements that we implied on top of that. So, okay, thank you very much.
Darlene, I have a question. Are the other homes on that block, are any other homes non-conforming, or are these the only two homes on that block?
I would imagine that they are all pretty similar in lot size, so that there could be others. I did not research that, but I think these homes are typical for the block, so probably there are others that did not meet the lot size requirements.
Mr. Reynolds?
Yeah, a couple questions, Ms. Heller. What's the process then as far as the zone, as far as the rezoning versus when the particular plans that are kind of staring at us right there come forward? What's that kind of schedule about how that would kind of, or what's the kind of land development process here?
Well, the rezoning would have to be complete. There would be a map change that we would finalize if this is approved. And then Mr. Connell would need to come in for a land development review that would be reviewed by our bureau, also engineering and traffic and other bureaus within the city. That would be reviewed by the Planning Commission, and then they would obviously need to get building permits for the work before that could move forward.
But I think you had said, and correct me if I'm wrong, that there's not, even with the project, that I'm not sure how much you guys have had a chance to review it, but as far as any relief from any parking or anything, that's not, you don't believe any of that is necessary?
It doesn't appear that way now. It's not an engineered drawing, so we would have to look at it more closely as the project moves forward. But it's Zone CB, so there are no parking requirements. Mr. Connell is proposing to put some parking behind and underneath, so there is some parking that would be provided, but there really aren't any requirements for that. He's laid it out so that setback requirements are met, height requirements, building coverage, things like that.
So as far, and maybe this is just, you know, the sketch there, but like the sketch there on that part of Garrison Street shows like a two-way, it's like two lanes there, I believe, going eastbound, which I believe right now it's one lane with parking there on that side.
Yeah, in all honesty, it would have to go through review of traffic and other things, other bureaus. We didn't really take a look at that. We took a look at it from a zoning perspective and a parking perspective.
So I guess it's early in the conversation then as far, and maybe this isn't the germane time to have this conversation about whether or not you know, when you, because when you're looking at that, it's, there's...
Mr. Reynolds, I think we're looking at the New Street side of the building.
Okay, we're looking
at New...
Well, I think that's the front of the building that's being shown
here. Yeah, so this is on
then I apologize, then I had seen that.
North would be on the left, and to the right, down further, would be Garrison.
I thought since we had the rezoning of the Garrison properties, those would be the ones that would be...
Those are not included in this because they're on the back side of the
building. I gotcha. Well, that makes sense then as far as that. But there's still parking right there. Anyway. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Heller.
What is the plan for traffic on Garrison Street with this project?
That's part of the land development review. We've not really taken a look at that yet. They would have to do a traffic study, and traffic engineering would take a look at that.
Understood. And how about the first floor component for the project?
Well, we have requirements now in CB. The first floor needs to include retail, restaurant, or personal service. They would have to include those uses on the first floor.
Is that for 100% of the square footage of the first floor?
Of the first floor.
Not just
actually,
street fronting?
It's for the street frontage. They could have other uses to the rear. It's really up to them. But we have a requirement for the storefront.
Would that be for all three streets that are included in this?
It does not apply to local streets. So it would not apply to Garrison Street, to that frontage. It would apply to the New Street frontage.
And North?
And North is a local street also.
How do you differentiate a local street versus non-local?
They're broken out, and the comprehensive plan has to do with number of trips that the street receives and the width of the street.
So there's not a requirement for retail or office on local, but is it permitted?
It's permitted, sure.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Any other comments or questions from members of council to Ms. Heller?
I do
have. Yes. Ms. Grant Smith, go ahead.
One more question. Is there any specific population that's going to be targeted for the apartments?
That's a question for the applicant.
Well, if I may, I mean, it's still...
Please step up to the microphone if you would.
Sure. If I may, it's still early in the land development process. Nothing has actually been addressed as of that yet. There's been no plan submitted officially with Ms. Heller or her department. That stuff would all be addressed at the Planning Commission. We're simply asking for the rezoning of the non-conforming parcels. But if Mr. Connell wishes to address some of that, he can probably provide better information with respect that I could, but it's up to you. Do you have any knowledge with respect to the property for that?
Well, at this point in time, we've reached...
Mr. Connell, the microphone, thank you.
We are working with a marketing and financing group out of Westchester, which is performing a demographic study to see what the market area for Bethlehem is. So that it's going to be driven somewhat by what the potential market is, and it'll also obviously be driven by the economics to make the project successful. But at this point, there's only one other type of housing that we've considered, and that was veteran housing, because there are quite a number of programs that the federal government has put in place to provide for the needs of veterans when they return from their service. So at this point in time, that's a question that we can't answer definitively, but we can address it when the time comes. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments for the applicant? Mr. Klum?
Thank you. Mr. Connell, just real quick, I don't know if it's preliminary, but the decision has been made, though, for it to be residential from the second floor and up. It was not going to be office space or anything like that.
That's the direction that we're going in. For under CB, there's a multitude of possibilities for how the project could be developed. One of the things that I looked at in developing the concept was the comprehensive plan that the city put in place to see if there were any desired types of uses in the center city area that jumped out as a result of that comprehensive plan study. Specifically in the center city area, the plan recommends high-density residential. In fact, it goes on to say that high-rise apartments should be located near the downtown area. And the rationale behind that is given is that it provides a sound economic base in regard to taxing, and it also provides an increase in the number of customers that are in walking distance in respect to the existing businesses and merchants in the downtown area. So it's seen that residential uses would support continued growth in the downtown area. And that's why we focus on residential with our concept.
Understood. Thank you, Mr. Collins.
I have a couple questions for you, please. You know, I am concerned about the loss of residential zoning on that street. I think it's a tight street right now, and it has a lot of vibrancy to it. It certainly has its challenges, but it's an intact street. There's not a lot of holes or teeth on Garrison itself. The holes are all on New Street. So I applaud what you're doing on New Street. I want you to build a good, dense residential building downtown. I am, however, deeply concerned about the loss of the integrity of this block. Even if it's on the end, it's still chipping away into the neighborhood. So while I know that this zoning change would make it nice and symmetrical for your lot, I do worry that more about what's going to happen to the block itself with that type of incursion into the neighborhood, and no certain guarantee that it will be residential. So my question would be, if you were not able to change the zoning, could you still build this building? I think I know what the answer is going to be, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Could you still build this building and make it viable, and you know, request whatever variances you might need for setback or, you know, screening from the residential area?
This is the very first step in this process, and there's so many steps that have to be taken on this journey and variables that are going to come into play that I don't think I can really honestly answer your question at this time.
But it was still a bit of a gamble to buy a lot that is in a residential neighborhood for a project of this nature, I think. So there had to be some kind of thought that, what am I going to do if this doesn't work? The second thing I would ask is, how high can this building go?
150 feet.
I think it's 120. It's pretty high. It should be.
So it could go higher, ostensibly.
Yes.
Is that a consideration of yours?
Not at this time. No.
No.
What drove the massing and the proportion of the building is, in this concept, I was able to provide 74 parking spaces in an enclosed garage. The number of apartments is 72, and that was driven partly by the number of parking that could be provided in the concept, and also by the type of construction. Limiting the building to this height allows it to be constructed as a podium type of construction. It doesn't have to get into fire-resistive construction. If it did that, the cost of the construction would escalate dramatically. So the limitations are what can be done to provide a reasonable amount of parking. Even though the property is less than 400 feet from the North Street parking garage and the Broad Street surface parking lot, and those two have approximately 900 spaces, the convenience of having parking for the tenants is a huge marketing benefit. So parking drives this, and type of construction drives this. That's how the concept developed.
And does these lots on New Street cover where the sinkhole was?
Yes.
Yes. And is that a concern in terms of the stability of your building? I mean, that it would recur?
Well, now that the city replaced the water line, I don't think there's any fear of a sinkhole developing on the property again.
Okay. That's all the questions I have. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Are there any other comments or questions from members of council? Thank you. Seeing none, we'll open up to public comment for anyone who'd like to make comments towards council. Is there anyone who'd like to speak? Dismiss. And for all speakers tonight, when you come up, if you please give your name and address for the record and address your comments to council.
Hi, my name's Lauren Miller. I'm a resident at 11 West Garrison Street in Bethlehem. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here tonight to speak. I appreciate you all. And before I speak as well, I want to say I love you, Dennis, as well. And I'm here for you, and I'm not against you. I'm not going to cry. Okay. So, I just want to say before I speak that I love you all, and I'm here for all of us, and I'm here for the best thing for our community. So, if I were to get what I wanted, I would say no to changing the zoning of my house. I don't want to live for what I want. I want to live what's best for everybody. But I do believe I'm supposed to share this with you all tonight. Aside from my home and the home next to me and multiple homes on this corner being beautiful brick homes, that just to build something new, I'm against that, I must say. I'm against tearing down something old to make something new for economical prosperity. The house that I live in currently has beautiful windows that will never probably be made again in our time. The brick building next to me, nothing will probably be built like that again. There's a hidden door for when servants, the servant lady used to take care of her household. There's a hidden door in there, and it's a historical, beautiful building. And my heart is to preserve what's old and take care of it. So I have lived here for 3.5 years in this neighborhood, and it has become home and family. We have had 2 block parties together as a community within the last 2 years, and frequent backyard hangouts. A lot of the neighbor kids come and sit on my front porch and color and play games regularly. If I didn't see them weekly, I knew something would be wrong. The article in the paper about the plan for this community read, a mixed-use development larger than Boyd Theater. It could transform this Bethlehem block. As someone who cares deeply for my neighborhood because it is home and it isn't just a place to sleep, I have to object to that statement for the title of the article. Love has been a part of transforming our block. Loving your neighbor as yourself transforms a block. It doesn't matter what you build on a corner if love isn't there. It doesn't matter how many businesses come in that raises the economy growth. If people aren't choosing to love each other, there will be no prospering, which is the main reason Bethlehem prospered when the Moravians settled here to begin with. I'm going to skip that. You guys know more than me in the jobs you are working in. And you have a different role to play in this life we are living in. So I don't know what is best for our town and growth in regards to what we decide to build. I know a lot of money. I'm sorry, I'm going to say this. The second leading cause of death in America is suicide. And it's the highest in our teens. The neighborhood kids come over to my house and I help them with their homework. Can we be a community that does that for our neighbors? Can we be that community? I know when I lived in the city in Philadelphia and there was big buildings, no one had time for each other. People just went from left to right and no one had time to just have dinner with each other. This community has been starting to be that. And I hope to grow it more to be a place where we can regularly have dinners together and regularly be there for each other. Sorry, Dennis, I wanted to buy the house someday too. Because I want to live there and I want to be a part of building this to be a family community. It's a place where you can sit on your front porch and hear about someone stay. And it's something special that I haven't seen. And I look forward to coming home and knowing everyone's name. It's a place that's like the show Cheers. Everyone knows everyone's name. And I don't know if that's how it's going to be when the whole apartment complex comes in. And if that brings God glory, then albeit, I'm all for it. But I do want us to take a look at the fact that something special is happening on Garrison Street. It's just the beginning of something beautiful for people to love each other more. And I don't want that to stop, and I don't want to not be a part of it. If you visit our neighborhood, you will see that. And so my question for the city is, what matters most to you? Does the community and the people that reside here matter in this town? Or does economical prosperity matter more? I think that's everything. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak on the rezoning? No, sir. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, my name is Mark Wood from 14 West Garrison Street. And I agree with Dr. Van Wert. This project that's going to happen, you're looking at 120 feet as opposed to regular two-story houses. And the other problem that I have is parking. I know it probably hasn't been looked at yet, but that zone parking on that street. Right now, there's just enough parking just between the neighbors. And we still have people coming that work downtown that come to that neighborhood and park during the day. So my problem is, Mr. Connell said that there's gonna be 74 apartments, if I was correct, with 72 parking places. What happens when there's visitors that come over? The visitors come over at 10 p.m. They can stay till the next morning. The Garrison part of this project is something that's not going to fit in that neighborhood. It's going to look out of place. The new street, I agree with. I agree you need business down there because you do have holes in the new street properties. But the Garrison Street, the only hole that you have there is a parking lot next to that house. Everything else is taken up by houses and residences. And I have a big problem with the parking, as I said. So, I mean, if there's a way that, and I don't know if you can do this, if there's a way you can guarantee that the parking will not suffer, and I don't think you can, that's my major concern. So, I'd ask you to look at that heavily when you're looking at this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak? Yes.
Hello, Council. Hello, Mayor. I want to thank Lauren and Mark for their comments. I'm the owner of 17 West Garrison. It's directly adjacent to 15 West Garrison.
Can we have your name also?
Julie Corradato.
Thank you.
I have lived there for 8 years, and I want to echo what Lauren spoke beautifully about, the vibrancy and togetherness of our community. It's a safe place to live. It's an affordable place to live. I bought the house because it's affordable. I have two kids in the Bethlehem Area School District who walk to school. Besides all of the lovey-dovey stuff that we want to talk about neighborhoods, but I do want to ask how this breaking the ground of this foundation is going to affect the foundations of my property and the properties down the street. I know there needs to be a land development review, and I know that's going to be many questions, but we have to think about the integrity. That sinkhole that opened up in 2014, I think that was terrifying to see those houses fall into the ground. I immediately bought sinkhole insurance, and I was terrified that, you know, my house was going to fall into the ground too, because my house is my heart, it's my home, I run my business out of there, my kids were raised there, my dog lives there. I just really don't foresee that being a really feasible option to break ground for a 74 space parking garage, which I think is going to be on the bottom you're talking about, like in the ground. If the first floor is the business, retail, or personal services, I'm not really sure how that's going to work. But I also, I'm a disability advocate, and when our street was closed 2 years ago for 6 weeks, it was, while the water mains were being replaced, which was a wonderful thing to have that done, but we have people living on our street who are in wheelchairs, who are in walkers, who don't have cars. You're going to shut down Garrison Street and make everyone walk how many blocks to their cars? I was okay. I'm an able-bodied person. I was able to park my car and carry my groceries in, and but we have to think about the people who live on that street who are not able to walk to their houses. They need parking directly in front of their houses. So how's that going to work if we're building this giant high-rise, you know? Is the street going to be closed down for weeks on end? Is it going to be in the winter when it's snowing? These are things we have to think about. I think the last thing that I wanted to mention, I like the idea of veteran housing. I understand that there's a need for housing for veterans, and I'm all for that, but I think that we really need to look at how this is going to affect Garrison Street and keep it on New Street, because I agree with what you said, that, yeah, I'm all for that, if it doesn't carry on into Garrison Street, which is a well-established family neighborhood. So that's what I had to say. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Vanessa Torres, and I live on 23 West Garrison Street. And opposed to the property that they want to build, I've come from New York. I left New York to get away from high-rises and buildings. And when you think about 72 apartments, that's about 144 families, if it's a family of two. And if it's a family of three, it doubles, and it doubles more. So you really have to think about, is this what's going to happen to our properties? Is it the community, is it going to change? Or even parking, it's difficult as it is now, but imagine later on, what is this going to look like for us? And I left New York City to be in a calm, beautiful environment, and I love my neighbors, and I know everyone's names. But for that, I just moved back to New York City, and we're going to have such a high rise with so many families and such a busy environment. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who'd like to make comment?
Yeah.
Mr. Haynes?
Bruce Haynes, 63 West Church Street. This is a deja vu all over again, as Yogi Berra would say. Remember 2 West Market Street? Remember the effort? This is commercial intrusion into residential neighborhoods. It's plain and simple. Instead of it being the historic district, it's a wonderful community on Garrison Street, and you heard the people speak. It's a community. It's a neighborhood. Certainly that's a great project, as they even acknowledged on New Street and around to the commercial business district as it exists today. And anybody that moved there knew that was CB, so that's fine. And obviously for those people, it's still going to be a big high rise right next to number 11, all right? But she kind of knew that when she came there. But 17 didn't know that she was going to have a big high rise building next to her.
Julie, I think it was.
She didn't buy that house knowing that she was going to have a big high-rise building next to her, because she had insulation of two residential neighborhoods in an RT district. And the whole baloney about, you know, Darlene Heller coming up here and talking about how those two houses don't fit the thing. There's not a house on that street, I would bet, that fit the variances of the codes. But at the end of the day, they're all residences. And this is a residential neighborhood, just like the historic district. So how familiar is this? Here we have an individual coming to redo a zoning change again. We don't have the city endorsing it. They're sitting neutral. They'll wait to the 11th hour like they did it at for 2 West Market Street, and then they'll weigh in to make sure you understand how you're supposed to vote. All right? And then, are we going to pretty soon also have Sand Island named after Mr. Connell or his business? You know, what do we got here? What we've got here is true commercial intrusion. And I really feel for these neighbors, and I'm going to stand up for them. Because if you go ahead with this, you're marching down the exact same path you marched with 2 West Market Street. The only reason you pulled 2 West Market Street zoning change that was put forth by the city to make 2 West a CB was they found out, because I called and said, oh, by the way, you can't have an office on the first floor in the CB. Otherwise, they would have done the same thing with 2 West Market. But no, they had to come then. So therefore, they said, whoa, wait, yeah, we can't put an office. Now what we're hearing is, from Ms. Heller tonight, that, oh, the CB and restaurant retail and what's called doesn't apply on a local street. So on Garrison, she didn't tell us what could go there. The largest bar restaurant in the city, next to across the street from all these people and in the neighborhood, or, you know, the biggest hookah lounge or the biggest tattoo pot. You know, who the heck knows? You got the cart before the horse. There's no way. First off, I would never approve it even with this project. And I think this is a great project. I'm not here not supporting a great project for the city. Just put the project in the district where the project belongs, which is the commercial business district, and leave these neighbors alone and leave their businesses alone. So it's what this is about is the same thing as 2 West Market Street, and if you keep going down this path, it's about integrity. This is about integrity. The whole thing is about integrity. It's integrity of our zoning code, which Darlene Heller won't stand up to defend. She tries to not support it, but okay, there's nothing wrong with this. It's integrity of our neighborhoods, and it's about integrity of government. And if you guys march down the same path here, the city and the zoning hearing board and the planning commission and everybody else to approve this, you're marching down the same path that's going to have you in court for 5-7 years on the same as you're going to be for 2 West Market Street. This is a travesty, and you guys should need to squelch this in the beginning. Not only that, you're buying a pig and a poke. You're going to change the zoning for those 2 houses, and you don't even know if you're going to get this project. Once it's CB, it can be anything. I mean, at the very least, even if you're going to lose your integrity to make this happen and destroy this, disrupt this neighborhood, the very least you should do, and because you think this is the greatest economic development project in the city, and obviously we know that the majority of council feels economic development outweighs neighborhoods and in this town, and that's clear. So at the end of the day, guys, if you were to approve this CB without it actually being attached to this project or conditional to this project because the project's so great, you've really done a disservice to this community.
Is there anyone else who'd like to make comment on the public hearing?
My name is Cindy Toledo. I live in 18 West. Sorry. Hi, my name is Cindy Toledo. I live at 18 West Garrison Street. It's right across from 15 West Garrison. And I do not want this to go. I pray that this, that you guys don't go forward with this. We are, our block is like a family. We have a community there. And just by making this building, the 2 buildings across the street, we're not gonna feel safe there. That'll be a lot more people moving into the neighborhood. And right now, you know, I have my daughter, she's 10 years old. She goes outside and play. We have the kids across the street. All the kids are outside playing, and we feel safe there. So if there is 2 big buildings across the street, I know that a lot of us won't feel safe there. It'll bring more people into the neighborhood, and like Lauren was saying, people just are gonna come and go, you know, and I'm not for it. And I hope you could take all of us into consideration, and all our neighbors are here, and I speak for them as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to make comment? Mr. Natalix. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Stephen Natalix, 77 Ridge. I'd like to follow up on Mr. Haynes' comments. There's an old adage that says government of, for, and by the people. And it seems that's been lost. It's almost like government in spite of the people. And Bruce is absolutely right. The key word is integrity. And integrity is expressed when the will is recognized and supported. It then becomes whose will? We have, on many occasions, intelligent, concerned citizens who love this city come here and testify, after intensive research, why something shouldn't happen. But then, we hear people come forth who have private interests, which is fine. They're free to have private interests, as long as private interest does not impinge upon the will of the people. The people who chose you to represent their interests. So the question is, whose will are you going to serve? And this question has come up much too often. The will of the people or of a private individual. So, my sympathy for these people who spoke, because they represent the core of the city. Decent people who love the city, enjoy living in the city. And what you can be doing here is depriving them of their way of life, uprooting them, forcing maybe some to move out of the city because they came here for that simple reason. So, I think it's very clear what actually happened here.
Is there any other comment?
Jerry DiGiulio, 32 West Market Street. I just want to make a sort of a side issue. To West Market, at least they had the decency to make something that fit in the neighborhood. You know, I don't know what the zoning issues are, but as far as what they did, they made something that fit there. As far as business, that's a zoning issue. I don't know what the right answer about that is. But we have two buildings going up. 546 New Street and Skyline View, they're totally inappropriate buildings. They overlook the historic district. They don't belong there. They're glass and metal, and I don't know how anybody could say they belong right next to the historic district. One's overlooking the historic ruins, and the other one's right up here on New Street. It's going to be, it has a wine bar, doesn't fit. That's all I'm going to say.
Any other comments for the public hearing this evening? Seeing none, the zoning map amendment ordinance will be placed on the October 1st council agenda for first reading. Public hearing is adjourned. Just to clarify, folks, we are not taking any action on that this evening, the rezoning, or having any further discussion. Seeking approval for the minutes for August 20th, 2019. Any comment from members of council? Seeing none, the minutes stand approved. Moving to first public comment on any subject not being voted on this evening. We have, I believe, no names or one name signed up this evening. Joe Petrucci, our Bethlehem moment. This Bethlehem moment was prepared by Jim Petrucci, a developer well known to the Bethlehem community. Unfortunately, Jim couldn't be here tonight, so I'm his son, Joe, and I'll be filling in for him. Bethlehem moment, May 4th, 1742. On May 4th, 1742, 16-year-old Countess Henrietta Benigna, daughter of Count Zinzendorf, opened a girls' seminary school in Germantown, Pennsylvania. Initially, the school taught 25 pupils, focused on reading, writing, religion, and the household arts. 7 weeks after the school was founded, it was moved to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. 3 years later, it was moved yet again to Nazareth, and then returned permanently to Bethlehem in 1749. In 1785, the school expanded its charter, began accepting girls from outside the Moravian Church, and was renamed the Moravian Female Seminary. The school itself built a tremendous reputation. In fact, its president, George Washington, personally petitioned for the admission of his great nieces. Eventually, in 1945, the seminary was merged with the local boys' school to form the co-educational institution we now know today as Moravian College. As the first all-girls boarding school in the New World, the Moravian Female Seminary holds a special place in the history of education in America. Not only was it a school founded by women and for the benefit of women, it was also one of the first schools in the New World to open itself to Native American children. This is a legacy of Henrietta Benigna. Henrietta founded the school on the basis that all deserve a quality education, and she did it in a time when that was not a popular opinion. As various stakeholders in the city of Bethlehem today, we should feel proud of this moment in history and strive to emulate the principles that Henrietta Benigna demonstrated in 1742. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to make comment on any subject not being voted on this evening, starting on this side of the room? Yes, Mr. Gallagher?
Good evening, Ed Gallagher, 49 West Greenwich. Thank you for the opportunity to speak, and as I always say, fight the good fight, gang. We need you. I wonder if some of you were available today to watch the beginning or maybe any part of the TV hearings to see a government in almost total dysfunction there. Please, we don't need that here. Appreciate your help and your cooperation in that respect. I'd just like to follow Joe's Bethlehem moment. You guys know that I'm organizing these moments, trying to get one for each of the council meetings. I reached out to developers and invited them to do a Bethlehem moment. That stretches the kind of mission of the Bethlehem moment. The developers are so important to the city, and my God, need we even think about the fact that there is tension between development and history? And my idea was that perhaps developers doing Bethlehem moments would provide a kind of mid-ground where people could meet. I owe to Barbara Diamond the articulation of the idea that the Bethlehem moment is a place where people can share a kind of common good, where we can put aside our tensions for a bit and celebrate the town that we all love. The only developer who responded was Jim Petrucci. He couldn't be here tonight, and I thank his son Joe for doing the Bethlehem moment. Now, Joe was a history major, as I understand it, so perhaps he jumped immediately in interest to do something like this. But you guys deal with developers all the time, and you know the tension. We see it here tonight, and just by chance, the activity that goes on before Joe gives the Bethlehem moment is an example of that. You guys deal with developers all the time. Why don't you encourage them that when I do the next trolling for volunteers in the first half of 2020, why don't you encourage some of them to volunteer. It's a good thing to do. I think it's a good thing to do for the spirit of community. So I thank Jim and I thank Joe. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak on any subject not being voted on this side of the room? Moving to the center. Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm still Jerry DiGiulio, 32 West Market. I jumped the gun a little bit there. I'm just curious, how far are these projects along? Because the first I heard of this building over here on New Street was in the paper last week. And apparently it's a done deal. This thing with the wine bar and the apartment building right here on New Street, 546, 548, is that a done deal? Anybody? Nobody knows? It got through the planning board. I mean, is there any other steps for it to be built? Nobody knows?
I imagine that Ms. Heller would be able to answer that question. No, that's a conversation that I think might be better had privately.
Okay. And how about Skyline View? The one that's overlooking the ruins of the city.
I don't know the current status of that project.
I mean, do they still have a chance to be modified?
I don't know. Again, that would be a question for a member of the administration who works on those items.
I mean, that doesn't it go past you guys first?
We voted on the demolition of the building. That would be our only input on the project.
And then whatever's built there is up to whoever buys the
property. It has to go through a...
Oh, so it's a ways away.
I don't know the current status of where they are in that timeline. Again, I think Ms. Heller might have a little more information on it.
How about 546, 548 New Street? It was put in the paper as a done deal. It's the first I ever heard of it. So I guess I should discuss it with her.
There's a process for that project as well.
There's still more to go.
I would imagine, yes.
There's still more input to be had.
Okay.
Is there anyone else in the center who'd like to speak on any subject not being voted on this evening? Yes, Mr. Antalis.
Stephen Antalis, 77 Ridge. I'm going to ask counsel to cure my insomnia. I have trouble sleeping at night because I've heard one shoe hit the floor. I'm still waiting for the second shoe. It's been a while. I keep asking when the second shoe will hit the floor. And I've got an answer. And very simply, the second shoe is zoning code definition of family. Five unrelated people. I've asked this question ad nauseum. A simple question. Why is Bethlehem the only city, as far as I can research, the only community in the state that has their zoning code reflecting five unrelated, while all other college communities restrict to three and some even to one? So, can Director of Community Development answer that? Can the President of Council get an answer for me? Can anyone on Council simply say, can you answer my question? What's the problem? Is there some secret here? Is that not a fair question? So, please, I would like to get a good night's sleep.
Anyone else in the center would like to make comment on any subject not being voted on this evening?
No answer.
No, no, sir. Anyone on this side of the room would like to make comment? Mr. Caratola? Good
Good evening, everyone. My name is Artie Curatola, who owns the property at 813 Lawford Street on the south side of Bethlehem, who lives in the house on it that has been my home for over a half a century. I am among the small percentage of taxpaying citizens who makes his living as a performing artist. All artists are the foundation of our great city and greatly add to the beauty and aesthetic quality of Bethlehem, which was named after possibly the most sacred city of all times. To impede the livelihood of anyone who is trying to make an honest living is wrong, but to impede the livelihood of any quality artist in Bethlehem is ungodly and sacrilegious. On the final days may even be looked at by our Creator as blasphemy. It's no secret to the people in law enforcement, firemen, teachers, students, and U.S. military veterans and their family and friends that I am on the menu as a write-in for the mayor of Bethlehem in November. If by some miracle that I get elected, I will see that better benefits are given fairly to all deserving, and the jobs of police will be made a lot easier and more effective. Today I ask a fair and just favor before I truly step forward and push to be your mayor. Look into the last paragraph, which is the last exception to the rule of Article 71701. It clearly states that all business owners who have outside entertainment can have live entertainment from 12 noon to 12 midnight, not just 10 o'clock. Bar, club, and restaurant owners, as well as musicians, singers, and other performing artists, pay taxes and do way more for the city than the small percentage of individuals who like to vent, complain, and get attention. We have a right to make an honest living by catering to these individuals with psychological problems and leaning wrongly on this article. Making musicians and performers prematurely stop doing their work is making it very hard for us to survive. It's hard enough to get venue owners to pay lot for live entertainment as it is when they can get DJs for $100 or less. You're making business owners reluctant to give us musicians and performing artists work in fear that they may be fined or lose their liquor license and possibly get shut down. And you're shooting yourself in the foot because a lot of business owners are taking their money out of Bethlehem and the Lehigh Valley and moving their businesses into the state of New Jersey. This Article 71701 is also called noise ordinance. The article they placed this in this article, they place music in the same category as noise. All dictionaries state that music is pleasant, natural sounds. Noise is unpleasant sound. At what point in history did music ever become noise? The American Century Dictionary says that music is the art of combining vocal and instrumental sounds in harmonious and expressive ways. Certain individuals with psychological problems who want to be noticed are making noise to you. To make you believe that black is white, white is black, and that music is noise, noise is music. I bet that these same individuals would love to see Christianity eliminated from the U.S., but that's another story. They want to take away our freedom of press, freedom of religion, and our artistic expression, plus impede our livelihoods, and have been succeeding throughout the years. Noise is in the ears of the beholder, as beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. It is discriminating for someone to say that someone is ugly, or for any article or law to be passed that if a person is too ugly, they can't walk the streets. I'm sure that anyone who is an authority on music would agree with me when I say that it is equally insulting for someone to say that someone's music is noise if they are playing in key, in sync, on time, without the excessive use of sound effects or screams or foul or violent language. God intended for music to be heard openly. There are no scriptures in the Bible stating that music is only to be heard in the mansions of heaven. And if it's louder than 40 degrees, the pits of hell will open for you. It is written that there are choirs and angels playing music, instruments all over heaven. So us musicians and singers are sacred creatures, so treat us as such. Our jobs are just as important as yours, if not more. Bottom line is, If someone is annoyed by music, as they are with police, ambulance, fire sirens, street or construction workers, which is beyond a reasonable doubt noise, but noise made for a legitimate purpose, these complainers need to invest a small amount of money into a soundproof room or move to another city or area of the city, use headphones to hear what they like to hear, or get earplugs that I would gladly personally purchase for the police to give to them. These individuals have strong personal problems, neurological and or psychologically. They should not try to make their personal problems a city, county, or state issue. Look to Article 71701. You will find what I say to be true. Any diversion of it has been impeding the livelihood of performing artists and obstructing the growth of the performing arts within the city of Bethlehem and the Lehigh Valley. I have the article right here for the provisions if you want me to read them, or at least the one I'm talking about. The provision of Section 71701A shall not be applied to the bottom seven facilities that offer entertainment between the hours.
Mr. Caratola, I think we get the point.
Okay. It says it right there. It says it in black and white. And don't try to reconstruct the article, because you'll have a lot of people voting against reconstructing the article. Just go for the article. Start not giving citations to musicians if people are complaining eight blocks away that they hear music in the distance. That's totally ludicrous. Thank you, have a good day, and God bless.
Thank you, Mr. Caratola. And I think Mr. Donches might be able to confirm there's no election for mayor this fall.
Oh, there's not?
No.
2021. Okay. I'll be around. I'll still be here.
I hope so. Is there anyone else who'd like to make comment on a subject not being voted on this evening? Moving to second public comment on resolutions and ordinances that are listed on the agenda to be voted on this evening. Starting on this side of the room, Mr. Gallagher.
Gallagher, 49 West Greenwich, and I hope I am around in 2021. I think that's going to be an interesting election. Hope I will be here. Something completely different and maybe more joyful noise. One of the resolutions you have tonight is probably just a pro forma kind of thing for Touchstone Theater and their festival Unbound, approving a use permit. It's not until I retired that I realize how much there is in the way of arts in Bethlehem, homegrown arts in Bethlehem. Most of the people in the room are probably, you know, in the traces of their jobs and probably felt the way I did for so many years, family obligations and job obligations and things like that. But I spent an hour last night. I'm not officially associated with Touchstone. I don't know that they would think about making a pitch for this here, but we have an ever-growing TV audience, and we have some of the most important people in town here, so I'll make the pitch for them. I spent an hour last night going through the program for their 10-day Unbound, Festival Unbound, October 4th to October 13th. It took me a damn hour to read through all that's going on there and to figure out where I want to get my tickets and where I want to show up. That thing is unbelievable. It is unreal. And it's almost totally Bethlehem kind of people, community kind of people. And the subject of the festival is Bethlehem. Bethlehem post-steel, the era that we're in here. It's exactly about our community and people celebrating and talking and discussing and imagining our present and our future. So I'm making a pitch. I'm using the soapbox, Mr. Waldron, for Touchstone Theater's Festival Unbound, 10 days of original theater, dance, music, art, and conversation designed to celebrate and imagine our future together.
And don't I find that on the first Saturday of the program, Councilman Reynolds is leading a panel discussion after an original play about the state of our community. Hot dog, Mr. Reynolds. This festival is using local people and local places. The Greenway, Godfrey Daniels, Zellner, Payro Plaza, and other places. The thing is amazing. Go to Touchdown Theater's website, look at Festival Unbound, and sign up for some things and get there. A lot of it's free. And it just looks like so much fun. I mean, an old guy like me is likely to be out there dancing somewhere along the way. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Maybe you can give us your gadfly picks, too, and you can let us know where the good tickets are. Is there anyone else on this side of the room who'd like to make comment on any resolution or ordinance to be voted on this evening? Moving into the center. Is there anyone who'd like to make comment? Ms. Dugan?
Unfortunately, it's not, I didn't print out the right copy, but the pictures are there that I'll be referring to, so it should help just make this visible, what I'll be reading.
You don't need to follow along.
Members of City Council, Mayor, my husband and I would like to request that council delay.
Ms. Dugan, could you give us your name and address for the record? Thank you.
Cheryl Dugan, 253 East Church Street, Bethlehem. My husband and I would like to request the council delay today's vote on resolution 10J, certificate of appropriateness for 251 East Church Street, property owner Madeline Peters and tenant Daniel Alt. We also contend that the September 4th Historic and Architecture Review Board overstepped their guidelines in approving this COA, which was premised on inadequate and erroneous information. Please note in the photographs and diagrams provided by Mr. Alt that he intends to construct a solid fence within 16 inches of our foundation, running 15 feet parallel to our siding. He also intends to construct a 36-inch wide gate on only 24 inches of Mrs. Peters' property. This solid fence would cause our property to deteriorate as it prohibits light and air circulation and would make it impossible for us to maintain our property with annual termite inspection treatments, gutter and window cleaning, removal of organic debris, and repainting. This 15-foot long dark corridor would provide a haven for rodents, small animals, and insect infestation. On July 12th, soon after Mr. Alt began preparations to construct his fence, we noticed standing water in our basement that had seeped in from our neighbor's property. I discovered that Mr. Alt had removed a pre-existing retaining wall that once protected our French drain system and dug 3 deep post holes in preparation to construct his fence. I immediately reported this to the city, and Inspector Recchio posted a stop work order because no permit for construction of this fence had been issued. He also informed Mr. Alt that the project had not been approved by HARB. Mr. Alt told the Inspector Recchio that he didn't think he needed approval to build the fence, as it would not be seen from the street because a 6-foot solid gate would block the view. On August 7th, at a HARB meeting, Mr. Alt requested a certificate of appropriateness showing his intention to only construct a 6-foot by 36-inch gate at a severe angle. Minutes of that HARB meeting state, in general, quote, HARB is concerned that the gate is proposed to be placed at an angle to the street and would present an uncomfortable view from the street. Mr. Alt's request was not approved by the HARB. September 4th, Mr. Alt resubmitted his request for HARB approval, providing more details. However, they required scaled and dimensional drawings with notes to describe the proposed work and materials submitted were inaccurate and incomplete. His intention to build the fence was added to this HARB request. As yet, there are no posted minutes from the HARB, September 4th HARB meeting to inform council, but my audio recording of the proceedings reflect that the proposed motion detailed a great number of specifics regarding the appearance and construction details of the fence. Several board members repeated their concern in the August 7th Harbor meeting that the gate remains visually uncomfortable. Because of restrictions placed by Harbor at this meeting, the gate is now at an even more extreme angle, an approximate 48 degrees. Nevertheless, six members of Harbor approved this revised application with two no votes. One Harb member stated that he had changed his vote because the angled gate now attaches to the fence. Point of fact, according to the Bethlehem Historic District guidelines, the appearance and construction of the fence should not have been considered at the September 4th meeting. Harb's purview is limited to considering the 6-foot by 36-inch gate set at an extreme angle that would block the view of the fence. I quote, "The principal role of Harb is to review and protect recommendations, etc., within the bounds of the Central Bethlehem Historic District that is visible from a public street or public right-of-way based on the Secretary of Interior Standards for Rehabilitation. We contest the September 4th Harb decision and request that the Council table this vote on the Certificate of Appropriateness pending further review. This is now a subject of litigation as our rights as property owners to protect and maintain our property are being impinged upon. There's a preliminary injunction attached. For now, Harb's initial COA denial with all members voting no at the August 7th meeting should be upheld. The minutes of that meeting reflect that Harb found fault with the angle of the proposed gate. Note, Mr. Alt did not provide accurate measurements at either of the Harb meetings as required. Neither did he properly depict the 36-inch wide gate, which would of necessity be set at approximately 48-degree angle in order to fit within their 24-inch property allowance. The Council should not approve the Certificate of Appropriateness for the gate at 251 East Church Street, but instead refer it back to Harb, requiring them to remain within their guidelines, considering only how the gate would appear from the public street or public right-of-way. The proposed gate is not in keeping with uniform standards. We sincerely appreciate the Council's time and careful consideration and respectfully request denial of this proposed Certificate of Appropriateness. Thank you on behalf of all property owners who want to maintain their property."
Thank you, Ms. Dugan. Is there anyone else in the center? Yes, in the back. Sir, you'll be next.
My name is Emma Ackerman. I'm from 1791 Falcon Drive, and I work at Touchstone Theater. I'm the production manager for Festival Unbound. And thank you, Mr. Gallagher, for that wonderful introduction. This is my first time addressing City Council, and as such, there's a lot of interesting details I'm finding, a lot of complicated issues and rules and ordinances, which are very interesting. What Festival Unbound addresses is something very simple. We want to inspire joy. We want to inspire dancing in the streets and music in the neighborhoods. We want to celebrate this city in which we live, this wonderful city with such wonderful people. We want to imagine the future through art together. This is a project that was born out of many hundreds of hours of interviews with Bethlehem locals, and something that came up over and over again in discussions of where is the city 20 years after the closing of the steel, the word art came up so much. And, you know, maybe we're biased because we're an arts organization, but something that really has come to define Bethlehem is what a wonderfully rich and vibrant artistic community it is, and that's something we want to celebrate together. This has been a wonderful and exciting process, but not an easy one. I want to give a special thank you to Judy Stiles at the city, who has just been incredibly helpful in making sure that we are getting all our paperwork in order and getting everything organized and to you guys in an orderly fashion. I also want to thank Mayor Donchez for his support throughout this entire process. As Mr. Gallagher said, this is an enormous smorgasbord of events. I could not get through even half of them if I tried in 3 minutes I have remaining. We are doing our best to have a lot of free and affordable options so that folks from all walks of life and all levels of income can participate and enjoy beautiful art. I want to give another few quick shout outs to people in the room that I know of. If I'm missing people, please excuse me. Ms. Negron is heavily involved in several aspects of the festival, and we thank you. Dr. Van Wert, I believe you're on one of the panel discussions. Again, if there are other, and Mr. Gallagher, certainly. There's so much more you can find out at festivalunbound.com. Please, please, please give it a look. We're going to be performing right outside this building on Peiro Plaza. We're going to be performing in and around the Bethlehem Area Public Library. We are going to be all over the city, so we're really, really excited. This is huge. It's a lot of work and a lot of organization, but it's important work. And we thank you for your support, and we thank you for the privilege of doing this.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, council members, my name is Dan Alt, and I live at 251 East Church Street. I don't want to take up a lot of your time. I'd just like to talk about some of the things that Ms. Newman brought up. Everything that she spoke about with in regards to my fence was hashed over at the Harb meeting. And she said that the first time that I met with Harb, my request was turned down. That's not true. They tabled the vote. And because of some of the issues that she brought up, they decided that they wanted more information, which I provided. I've tried to go step by step to be in compliance with everything. Harb gave me a certificate of compliance, the wall that she's talking about, where we're supposedly damaging the property. She's right, it's about 15 feet of fence. It's going to be parallel to the side of their house. It's going to start at a retaining wall at the back of our patio. It's going to end at the corner of our house. It's at the very back of a long walkway between the houses. That walkway is very narrow. Some of the Harb members did have a problem with the angle of the gate, but once we went over why the gate needed to be at an angle, I got the approval. They wanted a gate that was 90 degrees to the fence, but there just isn't space. So I proposed a gate that is at an angle, so that it would be practical, so you could have enough room to come in and out. She's saying that we're denying her access to her property. They denied access to their property when they built this addition. This addition is 10 inches away from the property line. It extends past the back of their house, and so it's parallel with our patio and our backyard. If they were concerned about having access to this side of the house, they could have very easily have set it back further from the property line. How they even got approval to build this close to the property line is a mystery to me, because when we put in the patio, we had to stay a foot and a half away from the property line to do that construction. How they could build a whole addition to their house and be only 10 inches away from the property line, I don't know. But the fence that's going up, as she said, 15 inches away from their foundation, which is more than enough room for somebody to get in and paint or clean. Or inspect wherever they have to do. There's no doorways there. There's no the windows that they have. There's two small windows that will be up above the fence. We're not impeding anything. And the idea that they would be able to keep us from building a fence on our own property really is denying us access of the use of our own property. They're treating this as if this is shared property, because it's so close to the property line, but we didn't create that problem. The retaining wall that she's talking about that was removed, she makes that sound like when that was removed, she started having problems with her basement. The wall was removed 2 years ago. They had every opportunity to construct another wall. The wall was on our property. We removed it because we wanted to start work on fixing up our patio. She said that they started having water in the basement. The basement doesn't even extend that far back on the property. So if they're having water in the basement, I really doubt if this has anything to do with the work that I've done on the patio. So I've worked very hard on trying to fix up this patio. We spent a lot of time back there entertaining guests, especially around Music Fest. This is sort of the finishing touch. It encloses the property. It gives us more privacy and definitely more security. We really don't like the idea that anybody can walk back there and onto our property. And we definitely don't like the idea that the neighbors think that this is part of their property now. That because they need to maintain a wall that they haven't done anything to since the house was built is really ridiculous. And to tell them that they can have use of our patio so that they can maintain their property doesn't make any sense. A fence can be taken down. And so if there's some emergency where they need to do something to their house, this is not a permanent thing that that couldn't be resolved. So my time's up. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hall. Is there anyone else in the center who'd like to speak? No, Ms. Dugan, you had your opportunity. Is there anyone else in the center? Is there anyone else on the side of the room who'd like to speak?
I'm Anthony Viscardi. I live at 253 Church Street. This is a difficult situation because what we tried to do when we built our addition was to make, I'm an architect, I designed the wall so it would be convenient and have an appearance that would look like a fence. The addition was made because of our son becoming disabled. The 16 inches is not quite a bit, quite enough to be able to get in there to do maintenance. It also could be a place where humidity builds up and termites, we've already had some problems with that. So it's a difficult situation because we're neighbors. We want to be good neighbors to each other, and that hasn't been possible in the last several months or years, actually. So there's a lot of problems with this. It's not just a matter of whose property it is and so on and so forth. It's really about neighbors getting along. And this fence, the gate seems to be an okay thing. The appearance still is objectionable to HARB because initially they said they didn't want it. Dan said it was tabled, but I think at that meeting there was not a seconding of the motion to vote. So this is a problem. There's annual removal of trash, all these things that happen for a fence that doesn't seem to make any sense. Why do you need a fence next to a wall that's 7 foot high and has no windows on it? So I would hope you'd understand the overall impact of this situation, not just on us, but other families that will have problems on the property line. We've got all the certificates and zoning and building permissions we needed when we did our addition. Our addition was something that came as a shock to us, and so we had to put it together really quickly. So I hope you understand this issue and the issue that goes beyond just purely whose property is what. It's really how these two families may get together, and the fence in our mind almost seems like a spike fence where we're putting this thing up just to, you know, where there's already a wall there. So please consider all of the mitigating situations in this project.
So anyone else in the center? Going to this side, does anyone like to make comment on any resolution or ordinance to be voted on this evening? Mr. Haynes?
I'd just like to comment, Bruce Haynes, 63 West Church Street. Just like to add to the to the situation from the perspective that 251 that's putting the fence up, requesting the fence to go up, happens to be an illegal bed and breakfast operating in the city. I would imagine perhaps the fence might be because they want to protect their illegal guests that are operating in the back of the house.
Can I defend myself here? That's an accusation that's not true.
Not at this time, sir. Is there anyone else who'd like to make comment? Seeing none, we'll move on with the rest of our agenda this evening. Any old business for member of council? Seeing none, communications. Communication 6C.
A memorandum from Police Chief Mark DeLuzio with an attached resolution in agreement for the purchase of a duty weapon by a retired officer of the Bethlehem Police Department. Pursuant to the Third Class City Code, retired officers may purchase their duty firearms at fair market value.
Resolution 10F is on the agenda. Communication 6D.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, the Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with Lamkin Engineering and Environmental Services for engineering services related to an application to the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection for a general permit for stream encroachment to support the installation of a water main crossing the Dry Run Creek. The term of the contract shall run through March 31st, 2020. Fee for the contract is $7,500, and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10G is on the agenda. Communication 6E.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with NTEC Engineering for engineering services related to the inspection and evaluation of the 90-year-old Southside Reservoir. The term of the contract shall run through March 31st, 2020. The fee for the contract is $19,200. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10H is on the agenda. Communication 6F.
Memorandum from Alicia Carner, Director of Community and Economic Development, recommending a contract with Cedar Crest College for community health needs assessment focus groups. The anticipated completion date is December 31st, 2019. The fee is $1,000. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10I is on the agenda. Reports. I have no reports this evening, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. President, just two items. Chief Novotnik will give an update on 911 and the Bethlehem Service Center, and then Mr. Evans will give an update on the website, the new city website. Chief.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. I usually do a PowerPoint, but I decided we'll just go to paper today, just to make it a little quicker on you guys. For the Service Center, Bethlehem Service Center, things have been going well. We're almost 6 months into it. I did put a handout up there on all of your places if you want to just go along with me on the first page. And I'll skip through it, but some of the important things are the Service Center are doing a pretty outstanding job. I got to admit, the ones that we retained down there, the 911 dispatchers, their knowledge of the city, their knowledge of working with other departments, police, fire, and EMS, they're learning to work now with other city departments that aren't emergency related, so that's working really well. In addition, they continue to support law enforcement. And with the National Crimes Information Center, they're working with the police every day down there. Even though we get dispatched from the county, there's so much background work that gets done by those dispatchers, or Bethlehem Service employees in there now. They're no longer 911 dispatchers. But they're also they monitor the radio channels, they do evidentiary work for videos and recordings, and they're monitoring the 160 cameras we had. And recently, those cameras came into play. The arson fires that we had in the Pembroke area, they were captured on film and they followed suspects through the town. And other crimes, there's four other ones that they get involved with that are drug calls, and they follow those as the police are making their raids and their attempts to stop people. So they're really doing a lot of work with law enforcement and public safety, even though they're not doing the 911 dispatching anymore. So how's the system working down there? We're going to talk about the cell phones and house phones first. As you know, all non-police related calls go to our old emergency number, the 610-865-7187. That's what's answered up in Northampton County. And when the county realizes that it's a non-dispatch of a policeman or fireman or EMS, they send that call right down to our new number, the 865-7000 number, which is really a good move. When we decided to use that number with the mayor's blessing here, that number now is pretty well known in the last 6 months. When it's not a dispatch of anybody from public safety, they know to call that number. And they'll get an answer or they'll get directed to another department in the city. And it's working out rather well at this time. On the second page, I'll just go to the calls there. I only have May. There's no April data that I could grab. But if you look at the top there on May, there was 2,936 calls that came in on that 7,000 number. So that number's out there now. And that was one of the best decisions we made. We didn't know how it was going to work out, but now when I'm looking back at it, 6 months into it, it's working out really well. And in addition, that's incoming calls into that number. Outgoing calls is the next category down. There was 1,024. And an outgoing call is when the people working in our center down there have to reach out to either another agency, another government agency, the city of Allentown, maybe one of the departments. They want to get that citizen in touch with them right away. So that's working out really well. They're communicating at a quicker pace, getting the citizens and residents or anybody with a problem help, even if it's another government agency. So incoming calls are busy, outgoing are a little bit less, but they're helping people out a lot quicker with that 7,000 number that we decided on to use. As for the email system, as you can see, we had 555 communications in the last 6 months, but most of those are policy changes and interactions inside the Comm Center and City Hall. Very few citizens use the Bethlehem Service Center email at bethlehempa.gov. They rarely use it. We only have a handful of people that have done that. So I don't know if that's going to pick up or not, but we'll see. Time will tell with that. And then the last one is the phone app, the one that took a lot of development from our IT department, a lot of work in all the departments to describe how to put in a service request. And right now there's 148 Android users that are registered and 380 Apple folks that are signed up to use that for a total of 528 users. So that's pretty good. Are we getting people to use it now? Yep. They're starting to use it, and I have a couple pages that we'll go into here that I did a couple graphs on with the help of IT. And if you go to the next page where my sign-off is my signature at the end there, I just want to let you know that the people using the app, and we'll go to their graph in a minute, green is the highest complaint when you get to the graphs, and it's usually garbage complaints, weeds, and high grass that aren't a police dispatch or any other public services that are needed. The red ends up being health and safety concerns. And the third category, the highest one, was the white. Roadway complaints for maybe a pothole or maybe there's cinders they want picked up or something along the side of the road that's laying there. Any questions so far, though? I know I'm
done. No, Mr. Navarro.
Good?
Okay.
Carry on. So if we go to the first graph, we have the one, that's our scoreboard down there. If you go down to the Comm Center, I'll invite you down anytime you want to come down. I know some of you have been down there already. That shows you right off the bat there's it's a running scorecard. On the left-hand side, all the zeros there, I call them goose eggs. I love walking in there when there's nothing on there. I tell the folks working down there, as soon as one pops up there, you handle it right away. And they do that 24 hours a day when we get a call. So that board's already cleared out. And I left, when I came up here tonight, it's all zeros over there. As soon as they get a call, then they handle it right away and get a service request out to another city department. On the right-hand side, unverified items, a lot of times people, if they took a bad picture, they send it in to us, or they don't have enough information, and we couldn't find out who couldn't do enough follow-up on it to really resolve that problem for the unverified ones. Non-city items are the ones that are sent out to other government agencies. Maybe it's not our problem, it's a PP&L problem or a service electric or phone problem. Next are completed items. 19 are completed. That means that they're out the door, the person was satisfied. I only had one person that said they weren't satisfied. It's because they took a bad picture. Their picture was blurry. We couldn't figure out where they were. So we coached them through it, and they ended up sending it in again, and we ended up fixing that. And the work orders of 112 went out to other city departments to make sure things get fixed in a timely manner. So we're tracking it. We'll give more briefings at their mayor's staff meetings, but it's working rather well, that part of it. Next one I'll go to is the circle graph. If you look at it, that just explains, I told you the green, there are our largest amount of complaints come in, even on the 7,000 number. People are complaining about grass, garbage, something doesn't look right in their neighborhood, they want it fixed. And then red, there's a couple red categories, it's broken down, health concerns, either something's dirty or they want information from the health department or other parts of the, I guess, our system here that people aren't sure where to go for help. So we direct them through that. And then, of course, the white I told you, that's the third thing, it's potholes, and they're taken care of rather well by our Public Works Department. I'll go right to the last page, which is pretty interesting. They're spread out evenly across the city. Every dot on there has a color code to what department was involved. And you see, there's no real clusters of problems. It seems like it's spread throughout the city, wherever the people find it, and they show up, they call them in, they take a picture, they give us a good definition of where they are. and we take care of the problem. So it's working rather well at this time. I'll take any questions you have.
Thank you, Mr. Novotnik. Mr. Corwin, do you have anything?
Well, a couple. Thank you, President Waldron, and thanks for coming out, Mr. Novotnik. It's right now, every shift of staff with two call center reps, correct?
Yes, there are certain times at night from 11:30 to 7:30 when I did not fill a position, and the desk sergeant would be there involved with the person working there if they were alone. So most of the time, though, it is two in there.
Okay. Right. Would you ever foresee, I know this is in its very early stages, having to add another person down there? I mean, the grand, if the user rate reaches what we'd like to see in time, do you think that you might need a third person down there? Is there more of higher volume or peak hours?
Well, to be honest with you, no, because the folks that work in there were 911 dispatchers. They could multitask. I'm telling you, they amaze me. They hired me because I'm low tech. That's what I keep telling the mayor and everyone. These folks know what they're doing down there. They are so fast, so bright with the system down there that there is really, no, I did not see that happen, to be honest with you.
And then to shift to 911 for a second, how, now that 911 is up at the county, what kind of feedback are you or any of the chiefs getting from the field units here in Bethlehem now that the emergency dispatches are being handled solely by the county?
Well, I'll let the chiefs speak for themselves if they'd like to, but we work with them every week. I'm in contact with the representatives from Northampton County dealing with issues. We're plugging our way through them because we did things a lot differently than they did. You can attest, you were a dispatcher up there, and we're working through them. It's not going to end tomorrow, I'll guarantee you that. We're involved with them every day, and if the chiefs want to speak, if you guys want to bring anything up, we can do it right now. Chief DeLuzio and Chief Bakke.
It's a work in progress yet. It's 6 months into it. We did things much different than the county does. Our dispatch center down there was specialized. It catered to the citizens of Bethel. County has to dispatch for the whole county. We communicate back and forth on issues. The issues are getting solved. It's going to take some time. You can't throw a switch and everything's going to be hunky-dory. It is going to take time. We're on a learning curve with them, and that's how you have to deal with it. If there is a problem, we fix it. And so far, it's been going okay. I'm not going to give a final evaluation to a year into it. I want to see a year's worth of work here by our dispatchers, our service center, their dispatchers, and everything. But the cooperation is outstanding. We're working through issues and problems that we do have. Also, the technical radio issues, so the costs of updating equipment and everything and consolidation of equipment. So it's still a work in progress, Mike.
Understood.
I pretty much echo what Mark says. We consolidated, it went well. There's really no hiccups where we lost any calls or anything like that. Calls went unanswered. Like he said, it's a work in process. They receive the 911 call and they dispatch. A lot of the stuff on the back end that our old 911 operators here in Bethlehem did may not have the same experience up at the county with the streets and stuff like that. So they're learning. They're getting their people up there higher and stuff like that, getting up to the levels that they need to be at. And we continue to work weekly with them.
Thank you, gentlemen. The only thing I'll say in my comment here is that it's very encouraging that the communication is going on, and I hope that that would continue to go on. I know we're still in the, a few months into this. Everyone is making adjustments. I know there are different procedures at the county level, different procedures here in the city level, whether it's police, fire, EMS, whatever it be. And I think that communication is important to keep resolving that even beyond, the one-year mark. There will come a time where Mr. Novotnik, you'll move on to fully enjoy retirement. The chiefs will change, council will change, things like that. But I think that ongoing communication, now that we've outsourced this service to the county for eternity, it should seem, is that as long as, because there will always continue to be hiccups, just like any other department in the county could attest to, things will always happen. That's the nature of the job. But as long as that communication stays there so that when these things do arise, we could all work together, the city, the county, their management, our management, the field units, men and women going to work every day doing it, so that everyone has the knowledge and training to just execute what they're being asked to do.
Yeah, the communication is there. The county's been great to work with under Executive Lamont McClure, and even our administration, they're in touch at their levels, but down in the boots on the ground, I know that the two chiefs, I'll guarantee you that every day when something comes up, nothing festers. If something happened, there's a phone call made up there immediately or an email, and a follow-through from the county does come down. So those lines are completely open. It's really good communication both ways.
Thank you, Mr. Bach.
You're welcome.
Any other comments or questions from members of council? Thanks, Mr. Romano.
Thank you.
Mr. Evans?
Thank you, President Walton. Quick update on the development of our new website. I'll tell you that it's much easier to build a new site versus untangling what we have. So it's been a work. A lot of yeoman's work, and I want to thank all the departments for their level of cooperation and patience and persistence in getting it done. We are now at the very end. Tomorrow, which is the 18th, we have been told by K&D we will receive our development link, and in essence what that is a working draft site that's linkable. It's not live yet, but we will then from there meet with the different department heads, either as individuals or groups, show them what we have. They've been involved along, so they know what the content is. They help develop the skeletal layout and the landing pages where they want them, so we want to make sure turned out what they want is what they got. They have an opportunity to review the content, check the spelling from edits to the functionality of it. Their assignment starting tomorrow by the end of this week is to look at their site or their part of the site so they can then deliver feedback by next Wednesday, the 25th. And again, they've been involved along the way, so it's nothing surprising. They've seen this and kind of know where we're at. But if over the period of a week they make sure everything's in place, then we can deliver what changes, what spelling, what errors, what edits need to be made back to KSA&D, and that would give them a week to make those changes, make it fully functional, with a goal to go live in the very beginning of October. October 2nd is what we talked about today. So I obviously have a real good update for you on the next time we get together, which is October 1st, that night, whether we can veil it and display some parts of it that night. If there are other things going on, we can always defer and push it back, but we're so excited to show off what we've come up with. There'll be training involved as well, administrative rights, because we want this new site to be much more functional and interactive for each department, to be able to provide a lot more material, a lot more social media. So they will need some training on it. One item is that we are now going to have a blackout period for 2 weeks, starting tomorrow to 2 weeks to that October 1st. We can't make changes on either site. So I know we texted back and forth with Robert. We can't post anything. It could really put a monkey wrench because they're starting to copy over and change servers. And if you start doing that and making changes on one or the other during that period, it can really make for mass confusion. So the sites our existing site is working. What's on there now will continue to work. But in the meantime, behind it, we are preparing the new site. So when it flips over, we'll then go dark. So for that time, we just encourage anyone that reaches out to be patient, that for two weeks, we're going to have to live like it was back in the 1980s or 90s ago with an existing website, not be able to do some of the things we've become very accustomed to doing. But it's one step back to go many, many steps forward. Okay?
Thank you, Mr. Evans. Any questions or comments from members of council?
Just to clarify for folks in the room, Mr. Gadfly, council's not going to be able to post anything on our website, including agendas, minutes, all the great stuff that you'd like to look at. However, if you want to access the YouTube video, you can do that through YouTube's website.
Moving on with our agenda, ordinances for final passage this evening, ordinance 8A.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2019 Non-Utilities Capital Improvement Fund budget. Bill 32-2019 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? The clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8D.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2019 General Fund Budget. Bill 33-2019 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8C.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 911 fund budget for 2019, Bill 34-2019, is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Kramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. We have no new ordinances for consideration this evening. Moving to resolutions. Resolution 10A.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller are hereby authorized to execute the grant award documents for funds to be received under the 2020 Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistance Grant in the amount of up to $45,319 that will be used by the Bethlehem Police Department to continue improvements in computer hardware and software. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Kramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Touchstone Theater for the Festival Unbound event. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Ms. Negron?
Yes, I just want to give a shout out to my Touchstone Emma over there. Great job. I am really excited. I've been very involved with it. And thank you, Mr. Gadhar, for the shout out. Also, this is a great opportunity for us as city to really talk, have a conversation about where we are and where do we want to go. It's not just a healthy way to talk, but it's fun. I'm super excited, and I just can't wait. I have a lot of sewing to do, so a lot of people that had no idea I sew, I will be sewing. I'm looking forward for this event. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. Reynolds?
Yeah, I just want to add on to that as well, is I think that it's, to add on to all the voices, it's really going to be a special time for everyone that's involved. I'm actually involved in two of the different events, one having to do with the talk back, the panel that I believe Councilman Negron is on October 5th, and then the next Saturday there's also sustainability forum involving high school students. And I believe Ms. Carner, you're actually also going to be there on the 5th as well. And several months ago, Bill George from over at Touchdown had called me over and started having conversations about what this is about and how it followed up on the event 20 years ago, and you know, it's hard not to hear the story. And you know, we all live in Bethlehem and we all understand what Bethlehem Steel means. And 20 years ago, the festival they put on was kind of like, how does the city deal with kind of the decline of Bethlehem Steel? But now the idea of this being unbound is that we are unbound from that identity, and that is both a good and a bad thing. And I think all of us, when we look across the country and we see the kind of decline of communal identities, whether or not it's religion or a huge industry like Bethlehem Steel, there is just a wide possibility there for how do we form a new identity. And this is obviously done through art and theater and conversation, but it's also about the issues that we see all the time. Is, you know, why do people disagree? How does that have to do with identity? And how do you find ways to disagree with somebody? Once upon a time, people would say, like, you know, okay, we have a lot in common because we go to the same Catholic church and we work at Bethlehem Steel and we have all these things in common that to a certain extent we don't necessarily have anymore. And I really, really want to give Bill and everybody at Touchstone and everybody that is involved here a lot of credit for tackling the most difficult conversations that we aren't just facing as a city, but that we are facing as a country. Is how do we move past the fact that different questions need to be asked, different responses need to be given, and we need to find a way to once again remember kind of what we have in common more than we have different. And I know that sounds a little kind of lofty, and it sounds, you know, a little bit, you know, in the sky as far as how do we do this, but that's really what it's about. And I think a lot of people don't even have the guts to have those conversations. But Touchstone and all of the partners here are that's what they're trying to do. And I think we all owe it to to not just Touchstone but all the partners here to get over there as much as possible and to show respect and be a part of this conversation about, like I said, not just who we were, who we are, but who we can be and how do we get there together. So, like I said, I think it's going to be a beautiful 9-10 days in the South Side, and we all owe it to be part of it. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Walder.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with the Rotary Club of Bethlehem for the Bethlehem Rotary Tastes and Tunes fundraiser for the Bethlehem Ice House. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Walder.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce through the Downtown Bethlehem Association for Harvest Fest. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? See the guys at Seven Sirens Brewing are here. Are you taking part in that, I imagine?
All day, every day.
Great. Is there anything you wanted to add? Cheers.
Welcome here for you.
Great. The clerk, would please call the roll.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Grom.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Walder.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with ArtsQuest for the Runner's World Half Marathon Event Festival. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Ms. Negron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10F.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement to effectuate the transfer of the city-issued handgun assigned to David Bartera, retired police officer. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Grom.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Walder.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10G.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Lambgin Engineering and Environmental Services, Inc. For engineering services related to an application to the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection for a permit for stream encroachment related to installation of a water main across Dry Run Creek. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Walder.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10H.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with NTEC Engineering, Inc. for engineering services related to the inspection and evaluation of the 90-year-old Southside Reservoir. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Ms. Negron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Walder.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10I.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Cedar Crest College for community health needs assessment focus groups. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Walder.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ten J.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provision of the Act of Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 251 East Church Street to install a wooden fence and wooden gate.
Discussion. I would let Dr. Van Wert know, as we had a conversation beforehand, I was just confirming with Mr. Spurk that there's a motion to table that's not debatable. It's the end of discussion. The vote happens immediately. If there's a motion to postpone to the next meeting, we can have a discussion on that motion and the topic at hand.
Okay. So I just wanted to say, while this the situation, as unfortunate as it is,
My greater concern is how do we as a city make sure that other residents who may not have the ability to have a lawyer or the time to go and do all the research don't incur the same types of problems, because this is a very old city and we have very old wonky buildings. My garage itself sits on the property line, and I worry that this situation will come up in the future and people who don't have access to some of the means that the current parties do, what are they going to do? So I called and talked to Darlene, and we had a conversation. I wanted to know, what do other cities do? Because obviously we're not the only city who struggles with this problem of fencing, and how, you know, what do their ordinances look like? How do we do it? And she mentioned that they have hired a consultant, URDC, who might be able to help look into that problem as well. So I think that there is no harm in waiting. I would like to have more conversation about how do we handle this as a city, what is a good way to do it, because this is a changing city. We're having a lot of new growth, a lot of people coming in and building and renovating, and I think it's good to have a clear understanding of how we can protect all of our neighbors and have peace because the ordinance is clear. So I'd like to make a motion to postpone. Is that the word?
So a motion to postpone until the next, we need to specify it.
If you make a motion, if a motion to postpone indefinitely passes, then you'd start all over again from the beginning with the...
At the next meeting?
Would that have to go back to HARP or no?
No, you just start all over here again. If you postpone till next meeting, then it would come up for next meeting.
Can I make a motion to postpone indefinitely?
You can.
What is the difference between postponing indefinitely and tabling?
You can debate and discuss a motion to postpone indefinitely. Once you make a motion and second to table, there's no debate, there's an immediate vote. That's the only difference.
Okay. And I'm not trying to dictate how the rest of council participates in this discussion, so I feel that a motion to postpone indefinitely is more appropriate. So I'd make a motion to postpone indefinitely.
Are we allowed to have discussion on her motion?
Not until there's a second.
Okay. I second.
Motion made and seconded by Ms. Negron. Now we may have discussion on the motion and the matter at hand.
So what's the mechanism then by which it becomes from postponed indefinitely to being back on an agenda?
Another communication.
But who is the communication? If council's the one that postpones indefinitely, would then we have to bring it up at a meeting to then be able to add it back to another agenda?
The HARP's done with it, so it's ours now, and it's just a question of when it's considered.
Okay. I would be more comfortable with a date rather than definitely, because then it sets into another process by which there will be the conflict about when to put it back on the agenda or not. I understand the idea of postponing it. I think postponing indefinitely then means that we would have then have a conversation about whether or not we're ready to put it on a future agenda again, which I don't think is the wisest way to go here. I mean, if we want to postpone to a different date, then so be it. But postponing indefinitely, I think, adds a second level of bringing it back that I'm not necessarily comfortable with, but I will defer to the will of council.
Mr. President.
Yes.
I think the problem with picking a date is I don't know that we have a firm date when we might get the data that we might need. I think there is an element of trust in that we are not just saying we'll never deal with this again, but I think the question that I'm asking is, what is the appropriate way for the city to help resolve fencing disputes between neighbors through an ordinance? So that would mean that we could introduce a clause into our current ordinance, or we could look at what other cities do and talk about that. I just don't know how long that would take for us to get that data. So putting a, just pulling it out of thin air and putting a time frame on it might cause us not to have the data in the time that we need it. That's why I'm more comfortable with a indefinite.
If that were the case, if we pushed it to the next meeting or a month from now, it would automatically reappear on the agenda. If we didn't have that data, we could do that simple process again. I tend to agree with Mr. Reynolds that if we remove it indefinitely, it could go into the ether, and then we're not forcing ourselves to have that conversation, because maybe we aren't ready yet, but then we have to have that kind of weird conversation about, is all the data here? I think it is. I think it's not. Let's put it back on this agenda. If we force ourselves to have that conversation in a month's time,
then you can say, yes, I feel we do have all the information, we can take an informed vote, or no, we need another month or however it plays out.
It's like a placeholder.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that we don't forget about it. Yes. Mr. Grubb?
Thank you, President Waldron. I might be mistaken, but I think I heard Dr. Van Wert saying that she would like to postpone it until we have more data from the department, because she already been in a conversation with the department, therefore that will be the time that can be brought up whenever that happens. So I think it's, I think that her proposal to postpone was conditioned to the fact of getting the data that can help change the ordinance as it is, whatever that might take, so that we have a clear understanding on how to deal with this. So to me, it's clear that there is, we don't have a number or a date, but when the data is here, we can bring it back on and pull on it.
Yeah, the mechanism to put it back on the agenda is a little bit more complicated, though, because then if it's just floating around for an indefinite amount of time, who's to say that we have all that information? Is it all of council? Do we have to have a vote on it, whether it goes back on the agenda? Is it my role as the president to say that I think there's enough information? If we force ourselves to pick an arbitrary date, if you will, now, it doesn't go away, and then in a month's time, if one member of council says, I still don't feel we have enough time, we can punt it further along again, so that it doesn't, there's no perception that one person is potentially dragging their feet. We're forcing ourselves to have that conversation publicly, as I think we should do. But so that's my perspective. I think we're kind of arguing about semantics, because we're really on the same page that we all kind of agree that we don't have enough information right now, and we'd like to have a bigger conversation. If I can just kind of slightly redirect the question and turn back to Mr. Spurk and say, what is it that council is charged with specifically when considering a COA from HARP? So what are we being asked to do this evening?
Under the third class city code, when the HARP sends its recommendation to council shall consider the effect which the proposed change will have upon the general historic and architectural nature of the district. Council shall not consider any matters not pertinent to the preservation of the historic aspect and nature of the district. So, as coming here from the HARP, that's really council's role, is to consider those factors, the general nature and the historic architectural nature of the district. I gather that the council's interested in trying to anticipating this problem is going to come again, and interested in trying to come up with an overall solution, and that's laudable, certainly. But I think the scope of what council does on the appeal or on a recommendation from the HARP is rather limited to the general historic and architectural nature of the district.
That was kind of what I was thinking at, is we're being asked to vote on historic review board's recommendation to approve this fence and gate this evening, not on do we think that fences and gates should be a bigger question, which I don't disagree with, but might be slightly an overstep to what we are being asked this evening.
I see your point, but I don't, even though our role here is to adjudicate or whatever the, you know, vote on whether or not we feel HARP's recommendation is appropriate for the historic district. It's a narrow question that we're being asked. I do think that when you think about the question in general, it does have a larger scope, even though it may not be applicable to the vote that we're having here. And I do think that having more information will help us not only answer this narrow question more appropriately, but also in the larger good of what we are here to do. So I think that it does apply to the vote that we're having tonight. I think we need more data in order to answer this appropriately. How do other cities handle this? I'd like to know that in terms of how this specific situation needs to be resolved.
Is your question, how do other cities handle it generally or specifically within historic districts?
Well, truthfully, I did not discuss historic districts with Darlene, but I think that is a very, like, I wasn't considering this narrow of a question when I spoke with her, but I do think that that is one aspect of this, because it's really a HARB approval that is dictating all of this, rather than, I'm not clear what would happen, you know, out on Stefco Boulevard. So, you know, I do think that we need more information in order to make an informed decision on what's the best thing to do for this specific historic area, and I'd like to ask the URDC to weigh in on that as well.
I think my perspective is being asked a very specific narrow question. I think it deserves a specific narrow answer, but at the same time, I do see an opportunity to have a larger question of how we can maybe lay some groundwork or make some changes to help have guidelines for folks so they don't have to have these awkward conversations between neighbors in public when the laws and guidelines are on paper. It makes it a lot simpler before the fact than after the fact. So my perspective is to separate the two issues. Focus narrowly on what is in front of us tonight, and that may need postponement too for more information, as opposed to a larger conversation about how do good fences make good neighbors.
And you could just put my comments in context for that, and then we could have a narrow vote tonight on this issue of postponing it to a date that I think you might have more experience naming what that potential date might be. Well, if it's a month from now.
And I would be curious to know, well, from here, all council's perspective, what information specifically they'd like to have that was not included with the HARB application to us. We also heard some public comment tonight that I would say didn't agree with each other on some of the specifics at hand. So that information may be in front of us. If it's not, what specific questions are we going back to HARB asking, or going back to the administration and asking?
I would like to know how other cities with historic districts handle fencing issues via ordinance, or how do they handle it in general? You know, because this seems to be an unresolved question.
Yeah, I mean, looking at it, it's a very specific issue. As we're looking at the pictures, hearing the testimony from the folks this evening, I'm curious to maybe ask some questions of them and hear what their perspectives are, because I'm not convinced that we can't maybe resolve this evening, but perhaps we need more time. Mr. Reynolds?
And just to add to that, I think one of the ideas of coming up with a date is whether or not we would either vote with the HARB's recommendation or against the HARB's recommendation, is that clearly this is a dispute. I mean, we had a copy here of the litigation or whatever it might be. Even if theoretically it came back with data that would lead to an ordinance or lead to changes, you know, somebody already pulled a permit, they already went through this process. I mean, I don't want it to be a never-ending kind of thing, because the process by which to put in new guidelines for fences may be a lengthy one. And whatever people on council decide about either agreeing with the HARB or disagreeing with the HARB is like, that should be, I don't think that should be put off indefinitely. I think we should put a date on that, whether or not it's a month or whenever it is. I think that separating those two issues as well, because the answering of the question about the fences over the long term as far as city policy, which is an important one, I don't think we should hold up one individual situation indefinitely while that kind of citywide policy is coming, and whether or not that's 2 weeks or a month or whatever it is, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds.
I think Mr. Reynolds, you know better than anyone here, this seems like it might be simple to get more information how other cities do things and to change our ordinance, but that can legitimately be a 6-month process.
I think so. I agree with you. And I do think it's relatively, you will be able to find information, and Darlene and Ms. Garner could tell you better, that will give some perspective on how other cities handle it. But like with everything else, you are going to find cities that handle these things differently. And then some people are going to agree with City A, and some people are going to agree with City B, and that's the way this is going to happen until all of those things are balanced out. But I guarantee you that there's no one way that these things are handled. Thank you.
Mr. Callahan and Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Mr. President. Am I allowed to ask Mr. Altman a question?
Just one moment, because there's still a motion on the table.
I know, but I can't really make my decision until...
I just wanted to clarify it with Mr. Spur. Yeah.
Sorry. Mr. All, if we...
Mr. All, if you can just step up to the microphone now. Thank you.
If I agree with Mr. Reynolds' theory that we postponed it for to a certain time, does that have any hindrance on you or the project, or are you under any time constraints?
Well, we would like to get this taken care of before there's snow on the ground. But also, I took time off of work to come here tonight. I work on Tuesday evenings in New York City, so I had to take a bus back here today. Missed work. Now I got to take another bus back tomorrow morning. So that's an extra round trip ticket. So yeah, it's a hardship for me to come to these meetings. And I feel like I have to be at the meetings because my opponents are going to be here.
Right. I have one other question. So the property line, and I ask also the other party, if the information is incorrect, please correct it. So the property line, how far off is their building off of the property line?
10 inches.
And how far off is your fence from the property line?
We went over this at the HARB meeting. They suggest that we be at least 6 inches away from the property line, which is no problem for us. So now we've got 16 inches between the fence and their wall.
Okay. Thank you. Do you want to add anything?
I do.
Go ahead.
In this podium is likely about 16 inches, and to try and get in between, and the HARB has, it's not in the details, so I'm surprised at the HARB, that it didn't explain that they're requiring Dan to put a good neighbor fence in, that the posts are supposed to be on their property. The discussion as it went forward from his proposal at this September 7th meeting, so many different restrictions and measurements were discussed at the HARB that changed his proposal and narrowed the amount of land where he's allowed. With the 16 inches from our house to the fence, leaves 24 inches to put a 36-inch gate at an extreme angle. Next to that angle, looking as you walk down the sidewalk, and that was twice the HARB recommended, talked about it being an uncomfortable view. They're charged with how things appear from the public right away, walking down sidewalks. What the public would see is looking down a narrow passageway between two houses. It's really a drain swale. The house has an addition already. Before we moved into our property, there was an extension that limited the property space that they would have had. It extended their kitchen. But if you look at the original footprint of the house, historically, it's expanded to property lines on both sides. When Dan talked about our house being right on the property line, our contractors, Charles and Sullivan, first of all, our son had cardiac arrest at 14. He was in the dining room, tube-fed. We were grinding medications. We had to get him out of the dining room and into an addition. It was built within a year. We ran the design past the owner, Madeline Peters, who approved it. We were careful to make it appear like a fence. We even said, if you want, you can paint the siding to look more like a fence. It's gone on and on, but our siding is a direct line from the historic house. 1899, they struck a straight, so it's not like we had an option to move it in or out. It just is a straight extension of the original house. I believe that HARB questioned the measurements, and specifically in their guidelines, they're required to have, they asked Dan at the first meeting to return with specific measurements. You've got the diagram that he submitted, and it does not show the specific measurements, and those measurements have changed even since that proposal because of the stipulations put by the HARB to make that fence a little bit further away from our house, a little closer there. 16 inches is not enough. We couldn't ask a termite inspection man to come in and do his things to install the traps to, who's going to step between that space and paint the siding, and we have painted that siding since we've been here. that went from beige where we tried to match your house. So it would be the least intervention possible. We were very careful to design high windows. The initial request from Madeline Peters was to replace her chain link fence where this fence now steps. So that made no sense to put a fence next to a fence. By legal definition, is designed to keep intruders out. I had the looked at the definition today. It is not really a fence. It's an obtrusive, we believe, a spike fence that we can't maintain our property. We are completely happy, would help them build something less onerous that has air circulation. We suggested in 2016 when this came up, so I think it's not critical that this fence be built before winter. They were wanting to do this in 2016. And we said, how about a lattice fence? There are ways to block out people.
Thank you.
Ms. Dugan, are you, I think I heard something that kind of sparked in my mind that you're willing to work with them to build something?
We would love to mediate this. I mean, we've got...
Sure.
The whole neighbors are great. These are difficult.
And the whole purpose of this is for security, so nobody can walk down?
And separate our properties, absolutely.
Sure.
But well, we can separate it without a six-foot fence.
One solution would be to build a gate that spans your property to your property.
And I suggested that at HARB because we would be...
That would be a 90-degree gate. There would be no fence needed, which would allow access for maintenance 16 inches. I disagree, is plenty of space for someone to go back there and work, as I'm someone who does that.
16 inches, okay. I can get my paint roller in and
it's
window washer to put his ladder
it's,
up.
It's rare that I have some expertise up here, but...
I do, I know.
Today is the day. And I will have to disagree with you that that is enough space for somebody who's being paid to go back there. So why not build a 90-degree fence that spans both properties? It's a gate for security purposes. It doesn't put a line down the property line.
That would be great. I offered that at the HARB meeting. Phil Rader said that wouldn't be permitted to have a gate spanning two property lines. So
why
that
not?
Confused me. I don't know. It sounded like ordinance or regulation or permits. The other thing to consider is in 2016 when this tension first came up and he was working on removing the retaining wall, I got a bid from Coulter Systems to install, and Dan was with me as they discussed reinstalling a nice retaining wall with the same stack stone that he uses against. Our French drain has been exposed and we do have a crawl space and existing steps. They were the Bilco door, so when that water comes in from their property, it drains down the water, the steps, and I sent a video to our lawyer. You're getting water from your side.
I'm sorry. My question is, why not build a gate that spans both properties?
I'm happy to do that.
I think that's the only question I have for you.
But I would do that on the condition if they did not continue to pursue a fence against our house.
Well, the gate across both properties would solve that solution.
As long as they were still intending. I have to have in writing that they would not, now or ever in the future, build anything that would obstruct light, air from our house. It's mold. You've been the painter. I mean, if you have no light air circulation.
A gate would solve...
A gate would absolutely
solve it. The security solution?
Yes.
And it would allow for ventilation?
I'm completely 100%.
So you're in agreement?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
They can cross our property and put the post on. Yes,
great.
I'd love that solution.
That's all I think we have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your rebuttal, sir.
This was mentioned, this was brought up at HARB. All of these things that they're bringing up, we discussed this stuff extensively at HARB. Again, the angle of the gate. They came to the conclusion that this was within the guidelines.
Sure.
They suggested putting a gate across the two fence, but we want to separate our properties. We don't want to share a gate with them.
Do your neighbors spend a lot of time on that part of their property?
They've never been back there till we started doing construction.
So why would you want to separate? Who are you separating it from?
we want to enclose our patio, and also...
It would be enclosed if there was a gate and, no. and their relatively attractive wall there, I would say. My question to you then would be, why not a gate across? It's cheaper, it's quicker, and it seems like an elegant solution to a tricky situation.
Because now we're married to our neighbors in terms of having dual property here. One gate for two different families.
Well, they're not going to be going back there because they don't spend any time on that property.
That's what
they
say.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Collins. That's what you said. You said they don't go back there.
I'm saying they were never interested in going back there until we started doing construction. Now they make it sound like this is the most important part of their house. We're not building right up on their wall. They've got enough room. This idea of ventilation being a problem is all made up.
I don't disagree.
And so we have a fence on the other side of our patio. This would finish off our patio. I disagree with their beautiful side of the house being something that we should be happy with. I feel when they put that addition in, it was almost like planting their house on our patio. And the idea, when this first started, she made a vow that we couldn't do this without her permission, and she would not rest until she killed this whole gate idea, this whole fence idea. And so it's just become an obsession.
So why not a gate? A gate that spans the two properties.
Again, because we would have to share it. We're not willing to do that.
Go ahead, Mr. Collin.
So, I mean, I totally understand your willingness, and also, what's the height of the fence?
6 feet.
And what's the height of the building next door?
Of their property,
right.
It's two stories. Well, the addition is one story. So
ten,
it would be
that's a
10 feet. Okay,
it's probably about 8 feet at the gutter.
Listen, I don't want to drag this on. I know it's going to shock her, but I agree with Dr. Van Wert on this that we need more time. But I also agree with Mr. Reynolds that. I think we should have a date on this. I don't think we should put it off. If postponing it for one, maybe two meetings at the max is the appropriate thing to do. I think it gets everybody on council to get more questions answered. But it also gives you an opportunity in a month from now. We're looking probably like the end of October. And I think you still have some time with the weather to put it up if it passes. I don't know if that's fair to you or fair to them. If it passes, I don't know.
Does the council need more information about this project?
I don't, but I don't know what the rest of the council feels, but I would agree with Mr. Reynolds and Dr. Van Wert for a limited amount of time. I don't want to make it indefinite. I don't think that would be fair to you. It is your property, I think that right now, if there's some questions that have to be asked to the HAR members and to yourself and the other party, it gives people on council time to do that. But I don't want to postpone it indefinitely. So that's what I would be recommending to council.
Mr. Klein?
Thank you, President Waldron. And I would agree with Mr. Callahan's sentiments that I'm not opposed to postponing the vote. I appreciate the email that was sent to all of us earlier, but all openness, I didn't have a chance to look at it before I was walking into town hall tonight. This is my first time on council that I could recall, and maybe Mayor Donchez, Mr. Evans, Mr. Reynolds have, where we've had to kind of play peer mediator amongst a certificate of appropriateness here, and it's a lot to digest. So I wouldn't be opposed to taking time to kind of read through the handouts and the legal paperwork that we were sending, things like that. But I would not say to postpone, I would be opposed to postponing it indefinitely, because I think that staying within the scope of what was presented to us to vote on, like we would any other certificate of appropriateness, that we should be able to do that at the next meeting or the second meeting in October, if that were to be the case. But and I do understand where Dr. Van Wert's coming from, of her question for Ms. Heller of how other cities handle some of these. I think it's kind of two separate things between what the scope of the Certificate of Appropriateness is, as Mr. Spurk had reference to, and then how we could find some kind of amicable agreement for both parties when you're talking about everyone has property rights and how you kind of resolve this kind of dispute. I don't know if we're going to do that tonight here by asking each property owner to kind of testify to what already happened here. Again, I would be in favor of tabling this or postponing it until the first meeting in October, or at the latest the second meeting in October, if need be. Thank you.
Yes, I'll weigh in here. I can see all sides that are presented here, and I feel that I agree maybe we need to get more data, but I feel like we can't go indefinitely. We need to have a time frame, and you've gone through all the processes you need to, and HARP has approved this, so I think that is an important issue to remember. I think it's a really unfortunate situation here, and I wish we could mediate it, but obviously we can't. It's beyond that at this point, but I think that we can give it a short time frame, like a month. And while we may not resolve this to the liking of everyone, maybe like Dr. Van Wert said, we can move forward and look, and it may take us 6 months to see if we need to look at ordinances and, you know, try to avoid these situations in the future. But I think for, you know, the best interest of everyone, you have been through a lot, both parties, and you've gone through all the processes, so I don't want to delay this longer than need be.
Councilmembers, could I say one other thing?
Yes.
Taking time on this, I know that they're working on pushing through a resolution that will prevent us from putting up our fence, and it feels like this is this might be on Dr. Van Wert's in her case, this is going along with that. If you can delay it long enough, then you can change the ordinance, and then
I don't think that is her intention.
Well, it sounds like she wants to just push this aside until something can be passed.
I don't think that's her intention. I think her intention is to make an informed decision with as much information as possible.
Okay, well then my apologies. It seems like delaying it though is going to be in our worst interest if you're going to change the ordinances, if that's what you're waiting for.
Understood.
Questions.
Mr. Reynolds? I just would answer that as, like, I think that's why setting a date is the fairest thing to do. Is that, that was the point, is that I don't think that it should be delayed indefinitely to allow for an ordinance to come to pass. But at the same time, I think that giving people opportunity to kind of weigh in will give this particular situation a yes or a no, and then it's the second issue going forward. So that's kind of where my thoughts were, is that the fairest thing in this situation was to pick a date down the road. Thank you, Mr. Reynolds.
Thank you. Speaking for myself, I don't need more time. I would be able to vote on this evening, but obviously it's the will of council to take some more time. The question is exactly how long. We currently have a motion on the table to postpone indefinitely with a second, and we're still under discussion for that motion. So we either need to take a vote on that, or the motion needs to be...
Can I modify my motion, please? Mm-hmm. So could I make a motion, please, to postpone for a one-month period?
We would need to pick a specific date, which
15th.
October 15th would be two council meetings from now.
Yeah.
So is your motion to postpone Resolution 10J to October 15th?
Correct.
Second.
And second. Discussion on the new motion.
I would just prefer to the next meeting. I think we can find out the answers we need to find out. And my only concern is if he gets the vote, he has enough time before the frost kicks in to put down the concrete for the post. I think, is that fair?
I would rather see.
I think once you reach freezing temperatures, it's you can't lay concrete down in freezing temperatures.
Fair point.
I think 2 weeks is enough for us to do some research.
I'm personally not going to be doing any research, so I can't weigh in on that. So I don't know. The researchers, whoever, you know,
Is the October, first meeting in October enough time? I mean, obviously, if it's not, we have the ability to postpone it again, but...
I'm going to say, this is a part-time job. I need it a month, please. That's what I'm asking for. I'm a pretty busy person. I like to get the stuff that we need. I'm happy to share it with anyone, but that's what I'm asking for.
You have the ability to vote no and then make another motion. Okay, if that's the case.
I do see your point. I mean, I am concerned that, again, it's a difficult situation, but Mr. Alt already got the approval from HARB, and we're looking at, you know, who knows, we could get frost by Halloween, you know. So I do see some merit in maybe making it in 2 weeks.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Such motion. Okay, let's go to the 15th. All right.
Yes or no on the 15th?
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
No.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Nay.
Mr. Waldron.
Nay.
Passes 4-3. Resolution 10J will be postponed until the October 15th meeting. Resolution 10K.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provision of the Act of Pennsylvania Legislature and the Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 46 East Church Street to remove slate roofing on the shed and replace with shingles. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion. Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10L.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provision of the Act of Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 56 East Wall Street to remove and replace the windows. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion. Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Nay.
Or aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 7-0. It's typically how those resolutions go. New business, Mr. Callahan?
I will be very brief. We have a finance committee meeting on Wednesday, September 25th, 4:30 here at Town Hall, and it's the subject matter is the bond refinancing. That's it.
Mr. Clark?
Public Safety Committee will be getting together on Tuesday, October 1st at 5:30 here in Town Hall before the council meeting to talk about proposed fine increases by the Parking Authority. Thank you.
Any other new business for members of council? This meeting is adjourned.